By the way, Sarah, yes, I did pick that intentionally. Count your blessings, as well as teach me thy way, and all of those. I pick them intentionally. They all have kind of a theme in my head anyway, and you know how my brain works. It's kind of one of those things like, okay, I don't see how he gets there, but okay. But count your blessings, that has been on my mind quite a bit. In recent weeks, if not, just days, it's easy to sing it, and then when you really put it to practice, it can change your day. It can change your week or your life just by thinking about how God has blessed us. And to intentionally think about that, it's doing its thing. And that's what all these songs will do, because I can imagine that pretty much all of us have done this through our church-going careers, if you will. Sing the songs in church, and then all that week, at least one of those songs is in our head, going over and over, at least the tune, if not the words. And it's making you think of it, making you think of counting your blessings. Anyway, I get off track there. Today's message is about math, simple math. It's not about patriotism. It's not about our blessings, although that kind of falls in there with the count your blessings and teach me your way. It's math. We have to be taught. In math, we count things. So it's all part of the sermon, if you will. Go ahead and throw up that first slide, would you? Quite the equation, don't you think? I suppose I should get my notes over here. The title of my message is, It's Simple Math. That's a simple equation. That's a simple equation. X blank blank 5 minus 3 X plus 4, whatever is, the whole thing equals 2. Isn't that interesting? Pretty complex though, isn't it? All right, next. Same thing. Easier to get there, though, right? Now, let me throw one more at you. That one's in Genesis. One man plus one woman is one body. The Bible gives us several kinds of equations and things like that. We can make it as, go back to the first one, please, as complicated as we want, or as easy as we want. In the 1 plus 1 is 2. I heard another one actually while I was preparing this. I'm going through looking at different points of view and such is what I was trying to come across, and it said one cross plus three nails equals forgiven. That's a good one that it kind of goes with where I'm at with this. It's simple math. All we have to do is be simple about it. We don't have to make anything about our Christianity complex and deep thought process to get there. The start is simple. 1 plus 1 is 2. We're going to look at some math along the way here. How many of you enjoy math? Whew. I figured you would with your engineering heading toward. In high school, I liked math. I went and did algebra, struggled through it because, as I've described in the past, my brain don't work quite that way. I like those easy ones. If I had a problem like this one on the wall, yeah, I wouldn't get there. If I did, it wasn't the way that I was intended to go that way. I can't think through complex equations very easily. I had to work at it. I passed algebra, and I think I took geometry, but I mean, that's not quite so many equations and things, but it was, if I did take it, it was kind of the same thing. I had to work at it. Never really went much further. I didn't go into calculus or any of that stuff. For me, keeping things simple is best. I like doing things just A plus, or 1 plus 1 is 2. Simple is best. There are too many steps for me. Things become all jumbled up. I get kind of lost in it. Now, bear with me for a minute while I get off track without getting off track. We're talking about keeping things simple. Yes, we're talking about math, but I'm going to talk about firefighting for a minute. When I was a newly promoted lieutenant on the fire department, I had a couple of guys that were with me in the same station a lot. So we would do company training, and we would go out to what we called a chop house, which was an abandoned house or a house that the city had bought to tear down, to put in a parking lot, I'm sure, but to tear down, and we would train in it. We could actually chop on it, cut things up and all that. So we were doing some training, and these two men that I was with, good guys. I really enjoyed working with them, but they were very competitive. Really competitive. No, they were really competitive. And so we go to this chop house, and we're doing some drills, crawling around on the floor and, you know, blacking out our face masks so we could do some search and stuff. And then I threw a zinger at them, if you will. I blocked the door, and they went into a bedroom, and I blocked the door and said, okay, you guys are stuck in here. The fire's outside the door. That's the only way out of this room. There's no windows, although there was a window in that room, but I didn't give them that as an opportunity. No windows in here, so you got to get out. And it went on, and we had fun during training and stuff, so they said, Carl, you got to time us. Sean's going to be over here, and Jim is going to be over here, and you got to time us. All right, I'll time you to see who gets out first. You got to get out of this room. Well, the training goes on that, in actuality, if you're in that situation, you chop a hole through the wall, the exterior wall, or one of the walls in the room, and get into the next space over. Well, these guys knew that they were on an outside wall, so they're going to chop a hole through this outside wall. And they go at it, and they're just swinging and beating on this wall. And all of you know how houses are built, right? There's drywall and then studs, 2x4s in the walls. And both of those guys they're about my size, 200 pounds, but they're beating on these walls. They cut a hole through the drywall, and then they were working on a stud that's in the middle of where they think they need to get a hole cut through. They're just beating on them. And I don't know if any of you have ever taken an axe to a 2x4 that's standing on its edge, especially a fire department axe, because they are not sharp. A fire department axe is intentionally not a real, you know, shave your arm sharpness. Okay? So that's designed so it won't stick into the wood and get you stuck. It takes a chunk out when it hits. Anyway, they're beating on these 2x4s, and this went on for quite a while. And remember, the drill is you're trapped. Fire is on the other side of that wall, and you can't get out, so you need to get out through the hole. Make a hole and get out. So I stopped them. I said, guys, wait a minute. You're getting awfully complex with what you think you need. You got the start of a hole there, right? Yeah. What do you think? If you were to kind of shuck your air pack, take that thing off your back, you could get through between two studs. You don't have to make the hole big enough so you can walk through. You just got to get enough, be like a mouse, be able to get your head through, and the rest of you is going to come through. Okay? Especially if there's fire on the other side of that wall. Make it simple. Cut the hole that's kind of big enough, and you'll make the hole big enough as you go through. And they both went, huh. Yeah, that probably would be a good idea. And you'd have been done already. You'd have been outside where it's safe. All right, so now I'll get back on track. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the moment that we don't see the simple solutions. They had it in their heads that the only solution was to make this hole that's big enough for me to walk through. And what they needed to do was make a hole that's big enough that they could dive through. Whether they had their air pack on or whatever, it doesn't matter. You make this smaller hole. Don't make things so complex. Simple solutions. Now, back to math. All three of our kids, Brian, Jennifer, and Evan, all learned really early, don't ask Dad for help with math. Math homework. I would get them to the right place, get them the right answer. I just didn't get them there in the same way that the teacher had told them how to do this problem. In fact, a lot of things that I tried to teach them, because I guess I'm ambidextrous, I can kind of do things both left and right-handed, and that throws me off as far as how I go about things. And yeah, my kids didn't come to me asking how to do much of anything. We all understand basic math. Addition builds. Subtraction removes. You can take that down, Michael, if you would, please. Subtraction removes. Multiplication increases. And division shares. So, as Connie read for us in 2 Peter, let's get into the biblical math a little bit. 2 Peter 1, the first part of verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. When we enter into our walk with Jesus and working toward the final goal of being in the kingdom, we have to build it. God gives us, you know, things we need. He, with His power and His promises, we've got everything we need. God's power plus God's promises equals everything we need. God's math is simple. We just need to build on things and be in that so we can learn that more complex path to get there. But the starting point is easy. Accept it. Let's read verse 3 here again. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us. Notice God has already given us his power and promises. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We don't begin our Christian walk empty-handed. We have the needed tools to be fruitful and increase. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God who gave us all." Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." So, God gave us his power. God gave us his promises. It's everything we need already. But he continues to give us things as we go along. We just have to look for it. We have to work for it, learn it. Jesus gives us the strength to do all things. All we have to do is look to him. In verses 5 through 7 of 2 Peter, several steps are given, starting with faith and building on each of those steps. We take the first step with faith, and then God supplies salvation. Then we supply diligence in doing the studying. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. We've got to be diligent about learning and studying the Word. It's simple math, remember? Add to. Multiply. Faith plus daily growth equals Christ-like character. So, like I said, we're given everything to start with, everything we need. Just kind of like those two firemen, we're given everything they needed. They had an axe in hand, and there was a path there. They just had to do a little bit of work, not a lot of work, a little bit of work to get out. When you grow your character, you increase your fruitfulness. I'm going to go to getting ahead of myself. In verse 8, if things are in us, we won't be useless. If these things are in us, the faith, the diligence, daily growth, if all that's there, we won't be useless. We'll be building and sharing. Look at John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, I've spoke before about fruitfulness and be fruitful and multiply. Well, that math thing all includes that. And in John 15:2, Jesus is talking about pruning a fruit tree. Those of you that do any gardening know that like an apple tree or a pear tree or pretty much any fruit tree, I believe, if you prune it back at the proper time of year and take off some of those unproductive branches and such, then more goes to the good branches and more fruit, better fruit will be will come about. And if we don't do that, or if that's not happening to us, we're the other side. If we're not producing more fruit, then we're the other side, and God will subtract things. So in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And actually, verse 4 goes on to say the ungodly, that's not how that's going to work for them. Growing character, adding to your life, your faith life, makes you more fruitful. Neglect of your faith life creates spiritual blindness, as it says in verse 9, 2 Peter. Peter 1, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We don't want to be blind. We don't want to have subtraction happening. We want addition and multiplication. Peter tells us the negative equation, the removal or lacking of qualities, making us blind and forgetful of the gifts God gave us. We are not growing and building. We're the opposite. Removing and reducing. We're not growing and building for God's kingdom. God is going to prune us out. Prune off the branches that are not being fruitful. If you don't use it, you lose it. It's one of those sayings that's out there that people just kind of throw it out there. But it actually is very true. We need to be working toward adding to our Christian life, our kingdom search or a kingdom path. Christian life never remains neutral. Let me ask myself a few questions here. Are we relying on God's power or my own? One for you to kind of think about. Is my spirituality building and increasing so others can share in what God's given me? Can others see that fruit in me that they want to join in that? I'll close with this. Faith is the foundation we must continue building on. Foundation alone doesn't offer protection from outside influences. You've got to have more structure there. You've got to build that structure, a shelter around you, but others have to be able to see it. See God's grace. And see those fruitful branches. And we've got to establish those fruitful branches. It doesn't have to be tricky. It's simple math. God gives it to us. He gives us everything we need. We just need to seek it, practice it, study it. There is, you know, I forgot to put it down. I was going to put it in one of the slides, but to get the equation for 4, there was an infinite amount of equations to get to 4. So I'm guessing that for 2, like what I had up there, same thing. There's an infinite way to get there. We just have to practice it, look at it, learn our way, study. That's why I appreciate, Dan, your initiative to have us as a group reading through the Bible. Everybody doesn't have to do it all the same way, but I mean, that's helping because we have these conversations where, hey, did you read this week? Yep, I did. And that's all great because that's adding to those blocks, making that building. And then we, as a church, are building each other, strengthening each other. But we add to. We don't want to do the subtraction part. We don't want to become blind to what we're seeing around us and the grace that God's given us. We want to multiply. Multiply and be fruitful. You know, that's the any kind of a fruit has seeds, except the genetically modified ones. But those seeds, there's more than one seed generally in a lot of different plants. So that's the multiplication. One seed leads to 100 seeds, which leads to 1,000 seeds. And that's where my math gives out on me. So we multiply, and then we divide. That's the best one. You know, the description that I gave you at the beginning of this, to divide is to share. We want to share what we're given. We share meals. We share smiles. We share blessings. That all adds to what God has given us. Let's close with hymn number 403.